Well, I had always wondered what it might be like to be a televangelist. This wasn't exactly how I imagined it, but perhaps this is my shot. So, for the next couple of weeks, we gather virtually for worship. And although there is much in the world around us that is changing by the hour, by the minute, it seems, we will continue to explore the life of Jesus Christ through the Gospel of Luke, as we have been doing for several weeks and intend to continue through the season of Easter. With that in mind, we turn this week to a familiar and beloved text unique to Luke's Gospel, the parable of the prodigal son. I'm reading this morning from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. Listen to God's word for us today. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But when he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to the father, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine who was dead is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now, his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you've never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord. For you alone are our rock and our redeemer. And let all God's people say, Amen. Well, these certainly are strange times that we're living in. It seems by the hour, by the minute, things are changing in the world around us. Yesterday, I made my way out to the gym in the afternoon, figuring I should probably get in one last workout before they close even the gyms in town. As I was standing in the locker room, there was another guy that came in and gave me the sort of guy head nod that you give each other in the locker room and said, "Good afternoon." and then realized that it was still morning. He said, oh, I'm sorry, I lost track of what time it was. I said, that's okay, I get it. It's kind of a strange time we're living in. He said, yeah, you have no idea. He said, my kids are home and things are just chaos around the house. I don't know how we're going to make it. I said, you know, we haven't even started spring break yet. It's still Saturday. But I get it. I get it. All of us, no matter where we are, no matter what our situation, are living in a time of fear and anxiety. We have a fear about what's coming. We have a fear about the unknown as things seem to be shifting around us and underneath us all the time. And in the midst of that fear, we are experiencing anxiety, particularly the anxiety of being disconnected from one another. The irony, the challenge that at the very moment in our lives when we most need one another, when we most need community and connection with one another, we're being disconnected from one another. Particularly for us who live in the community of faith, in the body of Christ, where we understand as much as anyone that we are created to be in community. As we say around here often, our faith is personal, but it is not meant to be private. Our faith is best experienced and lived out and nurtured and practiced in community. And yet, here we are living in a time when we are understandably being discouraged from living in community. So what does that mean for us, particularly for we who are people of faith? For starters, I think it's important to remember, what is church? Church, after all, is not a building. Even as much as we give thanks and are grateful for this beautiful sanctuary in which we have the opportunity regularly to gather together as a body of Christ for worship, but even this space is not church. Church is us, all of us. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. And perhaps we are as much, if not more, the church when we are dispersed from this place like we are this morning, when we are, in fact, out in the world into which God calls us, living out our faith in all of the ways that we are able to live out our faith. And in this time in particular, as much as it goes against the grain, as much as it is counterintuitive for us not to gather together, that too is, in fact, perhaps one of the most radical ways that we understand and live out our faith. We remember that the Apostle Paul in Philippians 2:4 said that we should look not to our own interests, but to the interests of others. And the choices that we are making today are choices that exactly live into that call. Another pastor this week, reflecting on our times, wrote, "What more loving thing can you do than disrupt your own routine in ways that you don't want to for the sake of others, for the safety of others, for the recognition that it provides space for healthcare workers and others to be able to deal with this crisis? What better way," she writes, "to manifest God's concern for others than to take the extreme steps, not because you have to, but because you choose to?" This is part of how we are radically living into the call of faith. Ordinarily, a call that draws us together, but in this time and in this place, a call that puts a pause on so many aspects of our lives in order that others, particularly others who are vulnerable, who are susceptible, might be in an environment that is safer for them, particularly so that our healthcare institutions can navigate and mitigate the crisis that is before us. This is the way in this time that we're called to live out our faith. And yet, it's also critically important to remember that social distancing is not social isolation, cannot and should not be about social isolation. I think perhaps one of the lessons that we can take from the story of the prodigal son this morning is that the situation in which the son finds himself is one of social isolation, He has made the choice himself to distance himself from his family for his own reasons. And part of the challenge, part of the crisis in which he finds himself in that pig pen is that he has been cut off and isolated from the very community that nurtures him, his family of faith, his friends. And so too, we are called in this time to lean into the creative and courageous ways that we can newly discover ways of connecting with one another. Perhaps for some of us, that will mean connecting with people in new ways, learning new mediums, new ways to take advantage of technology. Perhaps for some of us, it'll require new rhythms of life, picking up a pen and writing an old-fashioned card to somebody, picking up the phone, making use of all of the other ways that we have to proactively pay attention to who needs connection and with whom do we need to make a connection. One of the things we'll be doing here at First Presbyterian Church, and I know many other churches in the community are doing as well, is creating old-fashioned phone trees, making sure that every household is contacted and connected, is reminded that the church is here for them, because we are the church here for them, that we love them, that we pray for them. We want to know what's happening in their lives. And because our lives are always also about purpose, encouraging people to remember and think about the ways in which they too can serve others around them, even in these moments in which our regular rhythms of connection have been disrupted. We might also remember in this time, what is worship? Yes, we have disrupted our usual process of gathering here in this sanctuary for worship. But even as we take use of the gift of this technology to worship virtually this morning, we remember that there are many ways that we can gather for worship in our households and perhaps with a neighbor. There are many ways that we can continue to nurture and sustain our faith. And so we invite people in this time to discover new ways to take Sabbath. We may feel like we're forced into Sabbath, and perhaps that is true. But maybe there are ways in this particular moment that we can lean into rest and renewal, that we can lean into gathering around dining tables, tables that perhaps have ordinarily been filled with devices and screens, and instead turn off and disconnect those distractions so that we might connect with loved ones who are near to us. And for those who might be at home alone, to find the opportunity to connect with those who are near you. Perhaps somebody that's in a Bible study with you or a neighbor, somebody that you sit next to on Sunday morning, to take advantage of the time to make a phone call, send a card, to find each other in whatever ways you can, to experience worship in all the ways that our lives daily can include worship that nurtures and sustains us in these days ahead. And to remember that we are called to serve. We are created with purpose in our lives that might need to find new expressions in this day. Even here at First Presbyterian Church, we recognize that many of the ways that this campus and volunteers and leaders often serve vulnerable families in our community may be disrupted and may be changed in the days and weeks to come. And we'll have to discover new ways to support those organizations and those people, those institutions that are supporting vulnerable families, especially as there are newly vulnerable people and families, people whose lives, whose employment, whose childcare opportunities are all being disrupted, to look out for one another, to try creatively to respond to the needs that each other has. This morning, certainly the parable that I read, which was intended for this week, is not speaking to or through me the message that I might have intended for today, given the new reality of the world around us. But I'm reminded this week that perhaps the parable all this time has been misnamed, after all. To be clear, the word prodigal in the prodigal son that we often label this story is not even a word that's used in the actual story. It's an editorial label that we've put on in the centuries since Jesus spoke this parable. That word prodigal, we might remember, is a word that describes a kind of recklessness. In the case of the prodigal son, so labeled because he is reckless in spending his inheritance, squandering it away, we're told. But it occurs to me that perhaps that label of recklessness, of prodigal, better applies to the father in this case and not to the son. Both of the sons in this parable seem to me to be lost and wandering, seem to have chosen a path for themselves that looks out for their own interests more than the interests of the greater good, of the whole, of the family, even the family of faith. In fact, if we look closely at the story, it appears to me that it's the father who is the prodigal and not the sons, as the father recklessly, abundantly extends grace and love, compassion and hospitality to both of his sons as he encounters them in their wandering away from their core values and their core connections to one another. I think it's the father who is the prodigal and reminds us that it is our father, our parent, our creator God, who has always been and is and will continue always to be prodigally, abundantly, recklessly in love with us, and to extend that hospitality, that welcome, that compassion and grace to us every moment of our lives, regardless of where we find ourselves in these days and weeks to come. So friends, whatever life holds for you, in this moment and in these moments, remember that we can never, never be cut off from God's amazing love. Remember that we will always have ways that we can reflect and extend that love to others as we offer one another comfort and courage, strength and hope for the journey and days ahead. Remember that we are the beloved children of a God who is almighty and has and always will desire for us a life that is abundant. And so upon those promises and purposes for our lives, even when we too might feel like a lost and a wandering child, remember that we can trust that we are welcomed home, chased down and embraced, wrapped up in the secure love of our Creator, as together we stand strong upon the foundation of God's amazing love. Amen.